Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning, everybody that's here. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. Thank you, Jesus. As always, we declare that the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. So let it be even now, Lord. We thank you for giving your angels charge over us. We thank you for all the things we're learning about benefits from you regarding to the ministry of angels toward us. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I'm going to run through a quick recap of yesterday and then go to some of the other things I want to finish up today. We described angels as God's messengers. They are called ministering spirits. We read that in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14 yesterday. We talked about angels having multiple duties. Different kinds of angels. We see some who are, you know, the primary role is worship around the throne. Some are called cherubim, some are seraphim, some are angels that excel in strength, some are angels. I mean, all kinds of roles that we see they play. We see them worshiping the Lord and praising him, Revelation chapter 7, verses 11 to 12. We see cherubims saying holy, holy, holy in Isaiah chapter 6, the first few verses. You know, we see some that are called watchers and holy ones in Daniel chapter 4, in the story of Nebuchadnezzar, verses 13 to 17. We see some that are called the eyes of the Lord in 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. And we also see how these eyes of the Lord, what they do. They go to and fro and they come and report to the Lord what's going on. You know, we see that in Zechariah chapter 1, verses 8 to 11, and also Zechariah chapter 4, verse 11. Again, just a quick recap of some of the things we talked about yesterday. We also saw how, you know, angels can oversee God's eternal purpose and, you know, help to protect that destiny. The Lord used angels in the case of Jesus, you know, when Pharaoh wanted to kill all the, Herod wanted to kill all the children that were born at that time. How the angel, an angel came to Joseph in his dream, gave him instructions of how to escape with the child. And then later on, when the danger was past, gave him instructions how to come back. In the meantime, fulfilling some prophecy about out of Egypt have I called out my son. We talked about that yesterday. We also talked about God using them to bring messages. You know, sometimes, you know, dispensational messages. In the book of Daniel chapter 9, we saw in verses 21 to 23, the angel that brought messages to Daniel and said, I've come to give you understanding. And even the prophecy of Daniel's 70th week, or 70 weeks of prophecy, you know, came from the mouth of the angel. We saw in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, how the Lord said that all the messages were given to John to write in that book of Revelation, that it was sent by the hand of an angel to John. So, I mean, they do all these things. We also saw angels in connection with answers to prayers in Daniel chapter 10. When Daniel was praying, we saw that angel was dispatched to bring his answers to him. Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. We also saw an angel used in the case of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, the first six verses. This Cornelius was a Roman soldier, a commander in the Roman army, but he was also a good man who had shown favor to a lot of people and given a lot of alms and prayers and different things. And an angel was sent to minister to him on how to obtain salvation. Basically, angels don't preach salvation message, but they can tell a person who to call. You know, so The angel told him to call Peter, and Peter will explain to you everything. In the meantime, you know, the angel of the Lord also showed Peter a vision, you know, to get him ready to not be withdrawn from speaking to Gentiles, etc. We see how angels watch, angels fight for God's people. You know, read some stories in 2 Kings chapter 19 and also in Isaiah, the Hezekiah story versus Sennacherib and Rabshakeh, how that the angel of the Lord in one night fought for them and destroyed 185,000 of their enemies. On and on and on. We saw all the things that angels do. And this part that I want to do today, you know, I want to focus more on personal, you know, the ministry of angels personally to us as individuals, you know, how, you know, what they do, you know, for us. You know, we've seen all these other various dimensions. Let's focus more on, you know, their personal ministry to the children of God. We've also seen, and I will tell you, you know, one story here or two, how God can use angels to deliver his people from impossible situations. There's a story in Daniel chapter 6, the angel of the Lord delivering Daniel from the mouth of the lions, and so on and so forth. We've seen, you know, the other deliverances. We're going to talk about those today. And yesterday I talked about one aspect just briefly at the end. And I said, that's what we're going to talk about today. One aspect where the angels of the Lord have charge. They're waiting to hear God's word out of your mouth. So that's what we're going to pick up today. I want to start at, Judges chapter 5. We read this yesterday. Remember, the title of the message is Angels on Assignment. They have their orders. So I want to explain that again. It was a question I asked toward the end of the room yesterday as to whether, you know, we can engage with angels. Of course. If so, it pleased the Lord. If the Lord were to send an angel, you can talk to them. We've seen people that talk to angels in the Bible. Yeah, but I do want to call this out that, and I explained this yesterday, we cannot directly, be commanding angels to do this or to do that. And, you know, we've seen a place where someone prayed that the Lord should send an angel. In the case of Manoah, and his wife, they were to be parents of Samson. The angel of the Lord visited the woman first, and the man wasn't there. And when she told the man, he said, well, we better need to pray that this angel should come again and give us, you know, more instructions of what to do. And, you know, so we know that that can happen. And I'm going to read you that a short text of that in Judges chapter 13, you know, to show you how we can pray and the Lord, you know, can send, but we pray to the Lord, not to the angels. We speak to the Lord, not to the angels, unless the angel come and engage us in a conversation, and you are free to respond, because Mary engaged the angel in a discussion, and these other people engaged angels in discussions. But we see here in this story, in Judges chapter 13, we see that there was this story. A certain man, we are told, of the family of the Danites, which is a family of Dan. He was a farmer of Zorah. His name was Manoah. His wife was barren, did not have a child. And the angel of the Lord, see, Judges chapter 13, verse 3. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. So we see angels be sent to bring good news like that. Praise the Lord. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. The child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel at the hand of the Philistines. Well, we know that this child turned out to be Samson later on. You know, so the Lord sent this angel in this case to give instruction. Now, the woman was the man, was the one that the angel appeared to. Her husband was not there. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God, that's what she called him, came unto me today. His countenance was like of the countenance of an angel of God. It was very terrible. And I did not ask him where he came from, neither did he tell me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine or strong drink, and eat no unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to the Lord from the womb unto the day of his death. So now let's look at the prayer of Manoah. And Manoah entreated the Lord. See, it was the Lord that the Manoah prayed to, and said, O Lord, my God, let this man of God, whom thou didst send at the first, let him come to us again and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. See, he believed God too. as soon as he heard the news that his wife was going to conceive, he believed God. He didn't say it's not going to happen or anything. He just wanted more instruction, teach us more clearly. Pray the Lord. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman, and she sat in the field. But the husband was still not there. So the woman made haste, said, hold on, let me go call my husband. Praise the Lord. And she went, she killed her husband, told the man, said, look, this man that appeared to me the other day, he'd come again, so the husband came. Arose with his wife, came to the man, said, art thou the man that spake unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, let now thy words come to pass. Hallelujah. See, that's what you need to do when you hear a prophetic word that's bringing good to you. So you've got to align with them, just like Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. It's pretty much the same thing this man said here. Let thy word now come to pass. But now tell us, how shall we order this child? So forth, what you do to him, and then the angel told him, look, I already told the woman everything I told her, take care of it, and so forth. He repeated it. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, now, let us detain you here, make meal, and so forth. Angel said, no, when you detain me, I'm not going to eat. But if you want to offer a burnt offering, you must offer it unto the Lord, not to me. See, that's a good angel. the good angel will always point to the Lord. Now, not going to receive worship. He said, if you want to worship or do anything, well, you got to do it to the Lord, not to me. So anyway, Manoah went and made some stuff and all of that. And he asked him, well, what is your name? And the angel said, why are you asking after my name? Seeing that I've kept it secret from you. So Manoah did make the burnt offering and put it on the rock, and the angel of the Lord, did wondrously. He did some drama. When he saw that fire, got in it and did wondrously, and they were looking and said, my goodness. And the angel of the Lord went up in that flame, that of the burnt offering, just went up, rolled like that. It was like a cyclone. Went up from out of their sight and said, oh my goodness, we have seen something today, they were afraid. But I read this story just for you to see that, that the Lord can send the angel. We can engage, can interact if the Lord so send, but, angels must not be worshipped. A good angel will direct you to the Lord, just like we saw in the case of John. On the Isle of Patmos, angel that was showing him all these things. There were two times when John wanted to bow down and worship the angel. The angel said in, Revelation 19 and 10, he said, look, you see that you don't do it. Can't worship me. You got to worship God. You know, and if I come to you or anyone come to you, tell you prophecy, it's got to be to the glory of Christ. He said, because the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus, and you must worship God, told it. So angels can do all of those things. I just say that a little more to reflect on some of the questions at the end of yesterday's room. But let's look at Psalm 103, verse 20. This is the part that I really want to talk about today. You know, Psalm 103, verse 20. And I, you know, called it out a little bit towards the end of the room yesterday. But let's look at it more closely today and see, you know, what this might really mean. I can give us insight into how some of these angels function. Now, it says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. You know, so these angels, this particular category of angels that this verse is referring to, they excel in strength. And so they, you know, I call them warrior angels. you know, they're warrior angels. But just like Psalm 91 said, he said, the Lord will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. You know, Psalm 91 said that in, you know, I think it was around verse 11 or so. He said, you know, the Lord give his angels, you know, charge over you, keep you in all your ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands. Thou shalt not dash thy foot against a stone. You know, God has given his angels charge to do that. Likewise, Psalm 34, verse 7 said, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him. Now, God has given them instructions. That's why I say they have their orders. And we, you know, we want you to know that, you know, nobody is going to dissuade them from their orders. This story I was going to tell you in Judges chapter 5, in verse 13, Joshua came up against, you know, a man that he saw with a drawn sword. It turned out to be an angel of the Lord. Joshua didn't know that at first, so he challenged the man. You got a sword in your hand, tells me you want to fight. Who are you fighting for or against? You know, are you for us, you know, or for our adversaries? Because this Joshua man was a man of war. He didn't mess around at all. You pull up a sword, he's going to engage, you know, ready to fight, you know. And so, but let's look at the answer of this angel of the Lord. This is where I tell you, it's how, why, the reason why I tell you that they have their orders. You're not going to tell them what to do or not to do. They have their orders. So it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn out of his hand, in his hand. It was a sword. So you have a sword in your hand. It's out of the sheath. I mean, it's like you pull the gun out of the holster. That means you're ready to do something, you know. So he's got his sword drawn. And he, well, so Joshua challenged him. You know, are you here to fight? And whose side are you fighting? You know, are you on our side or are you on an adversary side? You know, so that's what he asked him. Art thou for us or for our adversaries? I mean, so there are two sides in the war, right? Our side and our enemy's side. So on which side are you? But look at the answer of this angel. You know, this is why I tell you that, look, angels have their orders. You know, they're not, you know, they have their orders. He said, no. You know, this was the question. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? I mean, you got to take a side. But the man said, no. Which means neither am I for you, no, for your adversaries, but I have my orders. He said, look, nay, to both questions, no. But as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. So I have my orders. Now, the orders that he came with might benefit you, you know, if you line up with his orders, or, you know, there might be a against your enemies, but that's not his primary purpose. Primary purpose is to fulfill his own orders. So I have my orders. I have come as a captain, and he was over see certain things, which actually Joshua would benefit from it. But the way he answered it here tells us that, look, they take their orders from the Lord, not just because of what you said. Hey, you know, be on my side against my enemies. No, I have my orders. The orders may be that he should be on your side, but he's taking his orders from somewhere else. This is what I want us to clearly understand this. It's very clear from this thing, you know, because when you have two sides of the battle of a war, you should either be on one side or the other. And the man said no to both answers. I mean, both questions. Are you for us? No. Are you for adversaries? No. But as the captain of the Lord, I am now come. I'm now sent, which means I have got my orders. And don't tell me what to do or not do. You know, I'm going to follow my orders. So this is very important. Now, the orders that they have, according to Psalm 34 and verse 7, according to Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12, and according to Psalm 103 verse 20, the orders that they have, you know, they can preside over certain things and make sure that, you know, good befalls you, so to speak. They watch over you, keep you from evil, you know, make sure that no bad stuff happens to you. And more importantly, that watching over the word of God to see to it and talk about that. Now let's talk about, you know, making sure that no evil thing happens to you. Well, how do they do that? I've said this in the room before, and somebody, you know, a sister gave a reference, quick reference to it yesterday also during the shares. You know, this is what happens. You know, this can happen. And many of us that are here have experienced this. You know, I've experienced this at times, but, you know, I've learned to understand what the Lord is doing. You know, you're looking for your keys, your car keys. You can't find them. You look everywhere. You can't find them. You know, and then enough time passes, then you find the keys in plain view. You know, how many people, if you've ever experienced this, they're on the stage, you can, or in the chat room, you can, you know, just say, yeah, in the chat room so that I can see whoever, I've experienced it. You're looking for your keys, you can't find them. And, you've looked everywhere. And then all of a sudden you find these keys in plain view somewhere. I mean, it's like, I already looked all over this place. Couldn't find them. What happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. The angel of the Lord kept those keys from you, you know, to the point where, you know, if you had grabbed those keys, you know, at that time, you might have been involved in an accident or some bad thing, you know. So the angel of the Lord kept the thing. I mean, we've seen the angel of the Lord blind the eyes of people. I mean, it happened in Sodom and Gomorrah when they were trying to get Lot out of there, and all the people that were coming, to Lot's house, look for the angels. The angels smote them with blindness. They couldn't find the door. They looked everywhere. They couldn't find the door. You know, so, you know, that they can do that too. I mean, they can put temporary blindness on your eyes. You're looking everywhere for your keys. You couldn't find your keys, you know. The angel waits until the danger has passed. Then he opens your eyes. And now you see the keys. I looked. I've already looked here. How did these keys magically appear here? Well, they did not magically. The angel of the Lord did that. You know, it's happened. Angel of the Lord can put a delay in your way to cause you to miss some. You know, sometimes they do these things when they see that we're not paying attention. The Holy Spirit is telling you something, you are not paying attention, but God is determined to keep you from that evil. The angel of the Lord will do something. It might be a little discomfort at that time to prevent you from a greater danger. You know, like it delays you and you miss your flight. We've heard a story of one of our brothers who was supposed to be on a flight. this happened in Nigeria, and he, you know, somebody was supposed to come and babysit the kids, and they did not come on time. He was angry and everything. And, you know, the delay, or the person that didn't come on time did not allow, he couldn't leave the kids until they came, and the person didn't come and made him to be late. And he missed the flight. The flight crashed. It's a true story. Now, what in the world could have caused that? Well, the angel of the Lord. I heard so many stories, well, maybe not so many, but several stories during the 9/11 bombing of the Twin Towers in New York. You know, some stories of, you know, somebody who was supposed to be on a commuter train to the Twin Towers that day. They somehow couldn't get on that train and they didn't go. I heard some cases like that. And they missed the train or did something. I mean, so something happened to them. I mean, angel of the Lord can do those delays. We've seen it in real time, you know, in real life, rather. And he can do all these things. And then sometimes you wonder, you know, so, and even, you know, you might get in your car in the morning, try to start the car. You try, start it a few times. It didn't start. And then enough time passes, then the thing just starts. I mean, why? You ever think of that? Well, the angel of the Lord is preventing something. So I've learned to not worry too much about those kind of, you know, delays and different things at times. Well, maybe the Lord knows something's ahead and is preventing me. So I've learned that. And I just relax and say, well, whatever it is, thank you, Lord, for it. In everything, we give thanks. The angel of the Lord does not always have to explain himself to you. Neither does God have to explain himself to you. But he has given these angels charge over you. That's it. You know, and as long as you fear the Lord and you're walking in his ways, I said yesterday, you know, from Psalm 34, verse 7, that, you know, he said, the angel of the Lord encamp around those that fear the Lord. And so that's a guaranteed, you know, that protection that you have. I talked about, you know, your own private, you know, Secret Service detail that will follow you wherever you go. But you need to be aware that they are with you too, you know, because they don't like it when you are disobeying the Lord and you're not fearing the Lord and so forth. They might just move away, you know, and your shield is broken. You know, he whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent will come in and bite. You know, you can break a hedge through disobedience and not honoring the Lord. The angel of the Lord might just walk away, you know, for a bit, because he says the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear the Lord. So when you are walking in the fear of the Lord, it's guaranteed. When you are not, you're walking in disobedience and so forth. Well, who knows? But something may happen. But the mercy of the Lord, you know, keeps us more times than his judgment. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8 tells you that if anyone digs a pit, he might fall into it. And if you break a hedge, a serpent might come in and bite. Do not break your hedge of protection. The angels have charge over you, keep you in all your ways. But you must follow the Lord. You must fear the Lord. You know, and they have their own charge. The angel of the Lord, you know, God can send them at times to do some incredible things. In Daniel chapter 3, you know, this young man, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were cast into the fire. The angel of the Lord was with them. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar said, well, I saw one like unto the Son of God. Well, you know, I believe the angel of the Lord was sent in there with them. Also in Daniel chapter 6, you know, verse 22, Daniel said, well, when the king couldn't sleep and came, Daniel! You know, thou servant of the living God, has thy God, whom thou servest night and day faithfully, has he been able to protect you from the lions? The king couldn't sleep, but Daniel slept soundly all night long. You know, those lions with their heavy manes, they formed a good pillow, you know, for, he just slept, called it up, you know, with the lions. He said, yeah, don't worry about it, king. I'm right here, you know. And then as much as my God found no evil in my heart, see, that's the thing. I sent his angels and shut the mouth of the lions. Glory to God. So angels can do that, you know, and save the day like that. In the book of Acts chapter 16, angel of the Lord saved the day. Again, you know, Paul and Silas are thrown in prison because they cast out a, you know, divination spirit from a woman. And when her master saw that they've lost their means of income, well, they conspired against them and had them thrown in prison. Well, the Bible says while they were in prison, they were not complaining. They sang joyfully. They prayed at midnight. They sang and prayed, and everybody heard them. And the next thing you know, the angel of the Lord, glory to God. You can do that too. The angel of the Lord come on that scene and break those chains, you know, break those bars holding them down. You know, he knows, the angel of the Lord knows how to bust people out of prison. He can do that too. Let's read this. Acts chapter 16. And let's read from verses 25, I believe, to 26. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. That's right. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Well, the angel of the Lord can trouble the earth. And so that fountains of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors and so forth were open. Their bands were loosed, you know. And I think the Lord has sent his angel to break them out. But they didn't really escape. They stood right there because they knew the man was about to kill himself because, you know, his life was in jeopardy if you let prisoners escape. You know, so the rest of the story, they revealed himself. Don't do yourself any harm. We're here. And they told him how to be saved and so on. Now, there's this amazing story in Acts chapter 12. You know, let's read a part of it. There was a time, you know, that a lot of things were going on in the early church. And persecutions, you know, and various things. Now, let's read what happened here. There was a time when Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Acts chapter 12 verse 1. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. You know, and this was, it took the church by surprise. He grabbed a hold of James, killed him. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now, these were the days of unleavened bread. And when they apprehended him, put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. Turning after he started bringing forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shone around the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and said, arise quickly. And the chains fell off his feet. And the angel said, guard thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. Cast thy garment, telling him one by one what to do. And he followed him. And when he followed him, he didn't know what was happening. And they went, you know, as it were, past the first and second ward. I mean, all the people that, you know, all the quaternions that were there, you know, soldiers, they passed through them. They got to a certain place, you know, even the gates opened up itself. I mean, it was like, oh my goodness. And they were just doing all these things, you know. And Peter didn't know what he was doing. And after the angel of the Lord saw that he was clear of all danger and safe, he left him. And his eyes opened. So, my goodness, what's happening? He thought he had been in a vision. Then he realized that this is not a vision or a dream or a trance or anything. This is reality. You're out of prison. You're here. And when he looked around himself, considered his thing, said, my goodness. He found his surroundings. He said, oh, I recognize this place. He went to a place where he knew the believers always gathered, and he found them praying. You know, he knocked on the door. They wouldn't open the door to him at first because the person that heard his voice recognized the voice. Peter, it can't be Peter. You pray that we know he's in prison. How can he be here? Ran to inside. She ran inside and told them, Peter is, I said, you're crazy. Peter is in prison. We're still praying. See, they were not even believing that God was going to release the man. Praying, but not believing. You know, so, you know, when you are praying, God may move faster than your prayers. You know, say, while the word is in your mouth, the Lord will hear you. While you are yet speaking, I will answer. Well, while you are doing that, and the Lord is answering, don't be unbelieving and say, well, that couldn't have happened so quickly. Well, he did. And Peter was standing at the door. And you know the rest of the story. The angel of the Lord that delivered him in that situation. Now, how do the angels of the Lord carry out Psalm 103 verse 20? Well, I'm going to tell you how they carried out. And this is, you know, I have seen this. The Lord has explained this to me. I have seen it. And I know it works. You know, and I call it parables of the kingdom. That's what I call it. When God shows me or tells me things, sometimes I see them in my mind's eye. Sometimes he's just telling me a story, you know, and, you know, I call it parables of the kingdom. I enjoy those parables. So he tells me more and more, you know, and I say, oh, my goodness. So here's one parable he told me. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, you know, angels, you know, different angels that are assigned to different people. And as the story went, I was looking and seeing some of these angels. Some of them looked like they were very active. I've told this before. And they were going back and forth like flashes of lightning. They were just moving, doing, coming, doing, you know, say something. Lord, they go and come, they're moving back and forth. I mean, they were just active. Meanwhile, I saw some that were hanging around with their arms folded. It's like, you know, what in the world is going on? I said, well, you know, I said, well, what are these ones? Why are they like this? They were like bored. You know how people can be bored just hanging out, yawning and stuff. And they were just bored. And these other ones were active. And it turned out the explanation was given. See these ones over here, you know, that are active, and see these ones over here that are bored and doing nothing. So, well, so yeah, why? You know, are they not all angels sent for to minister to these saints? Why are they, these ones not doing anything? You know, I said, well, because the ones to whom they were assigned are not speaking the word of God. I said, oh, well, but they've already been assigned. Yeah, but the assignment was when you hear them speak that word, then you go into action. I said, you know, and then I looked it up. I found Psalm 103 verse 20. And I said, oh, so that's what that means, you know. So, and there is a story, you know, that, you know, we read in the Bible, right? That gives us an insight to it. In this case, it was a something, you know, negative of sorts, but gives us an insight to where this kind of thing can actually be happening when the Lord is at, you know, the Lord is in control. You know, now in the book of 1 Kings chapter 22, there is a story that we read of Ahab and Jehoshaphat, you know, Jehoshaphat coming into a league with Ahab. And Ahab said, well, don't you know that Ramoth Gilead is ours and we have not yet taken it out of the king, hand of the king of Syria, instead of Jehoshaphat. Now, Ahab was king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. Now, mostly the kings of Judah were, they did well before the Lord, most of them. But most of the kings of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, Jehoshaphat was a good king that feared the Lord and did good. Ahab was an evil king, you know, that did horrible things. You know about Ahab and his wife Jezebel that spurred him on. Now, so when they said, well, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead? Ahab said to Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat said, of course, I'll go with you. But first, let us ask of the Lord, you know, the word of the Lord today. So King Ahab sent and gathered all the prophets of the grove, 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. 400 prophets said the same thing. And I'm going to bring out another lesson here today. And yet Jehoshaphat said, well, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we may inquire of him? Now, so Jehoshaphat did not trust these 400 people. He probably knew them, that they were prophets of Baal, and he couldn't trust any of them. But somehow there was discernment working inside of him. I mean, let's face it. The scriptures say at the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So all you needed was two or three of these prophets to say the same thing. You know, I mean, so yet 400 of them were saying the same thing. And this man was still not convinced. Oh, my goodness, that's powerful stuff. You know, and he said, well, okay, I need another prophet of the Lord. I don't like this group here. So, yeah, and Ahab said, well, you know, there is yet one man. His name is Micaiah. He's the son of Imlah. He does, you know, he never says anything good about me. He's always prophesying evil. So I don't really like to consult him. See, now, Ahab never wanted to hear the truth. You know, he liked to have political prophets around him that was going to tell him what he liked to hear. And so these prophets knew what he liked to hear. They wanted to, you know, I mean, every king likes to know that they are going to prosper when they are going to battle. So, you know, prophets say, yeah, go. The Lord will prosper you. You deliver it your hand. And yeah, that's what the king wanted to hear anyway. He told it to him. And Jehoshaphat wasn't buying any of that. So he said, well, call this man. You know, he said, well, he's not going to tell any good thing, but call him anyway. Let's hear what he has to say. Immediately, Jehoshaphat is thinking, I like this man. I like this man that's going against the mainstream. See, Jehoshaphat was in his mind already liking this man. If he's going to not say something good, well, that's not a yes man. So I like to hear what he's saying. These other ones were yes prophets and say anything they want, the king wanted to hear. Call this man. So they called him. And the person that he sent to him, they told him, said, listen, you know, all the prophets are gathered together and they said a good thing to the king. So let your word be as them. And the man said, well, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will only say what he puts in my mouth. Say, well, but let it be like them. So, well, I don't know about that. I'm going to say what the Lord tells me. Follows the man, gets to the king. King asks him the question. Well, shall we go up to Ramoth Gilead and fight against it? Shall we prosper? Will the Lord deliver it into our hands? And Micaiah said, of course, go up and prosper. He said it, tongue in the cheek kind of way. You know, and Ahab says, well, how long have I told you? Tell me anything. Don't tell me anything but what the Lord says. So, well, I tell you, but you don't listen. So I tell you what you want to hear, like these other prophets I just told you. Isn't that what you wanted to hear and I just told you? Are we good? Can I go now? King said, no, I know there is something in your mind. You tell it to me now. So, well, you know, you can't hear the truth. You know, so I want the truth. We can't hear the truth. Because if I tell it to you, you won't hear it anyway. You know, just like other times. You never heard it. So tell it anyway. And Jehoshaphat probably already said, hey, look, you know, tell us. We want to hear the word of God. And the man said, okay, here's the deal. I saw all Israel gathered together like sheep without a shepherd. You know, their king is gone. And he said, before that, also, I saw the Lord having a meeting. You know, he sat down and said, who will go down there and persuade Ahab to go up to Ramoth Gilead and fall? And he began to tell all the vision, which brought evil upon Ahab, of course. Now, after he said it, Ahab didn't like what he heard. They said, well, go put him in prison and so forth. And that come back. And the man said, come back. He said, until I come back in peace. And the man said, if you come back at all, that means the Lord hasn't spoken by me. So, of course, he even disguised himself, Ahab did. He told the king of, I don't know. Jehoshaphat was so, you know, you would think a man that had such discernment would still, he would follow this man into battle. He could have detached himself. And the man was telling him, you wear your kingly garment. The prophecy was against me, not you. So you wear your kingly garment. I'm going to disguise myself. Jehoshaphat should have known that this man was setting him up. You know, he said, well, you look like the king. I'm going to look like ordinary people. So they can't figure me out. And then they went to battle. Foolishly, Jehoshaphat still followed him. They went there and he almost got killed. And he cried out, I'm not the king. They left him alone. And then, somebody drew an arrow by chance and hit Ahab, because the word of the Lord must be fulfilled. He's not coming out of that battle, because the Lord said, go down there and see to it. He's going to be destroyed. So that's the story. But let me go back to the interesting part. When the Lord said, who's going to go down there and see to it that Ahab will be destroyed at Ramoth Gilead today? Well, one spirit came up and said, oh, I will do it. And the Lord said, how? He said, the such and such. I said, no, that's not going to work. Another one came and said, oh, I will do it. Said, well, how? He said, the such and such. No, that's not going to work. Then one came. Well, we don't know whether it's good spirit or bad spirit, but he said, what? Well, one came and said, I'm going to go and put a lie in the mouth of all his prophets. And they will speak a lie to the king. They will say, the Lord said. They will say, thus said the Lord, when the Lord has not said. And, that will make him believe a lie. I said, okay. Go to it and see to it. And so, one day I was reading that story and I began to see that God can actually hold these council meetings. And so, although this was a bad thing in this case, you can see how it can actually also work for good. The Lord could have said, and he actually did. The Lord could have said to these angels, now, see all those my children over there that are, trying to believe me for something, and they're doing it their own way and going by their emotions and stuff. You know the principles that operate here. They say, yeah, we do. Okay. Now, you be listening and be watching. The moment they speak my word. Huh. Now you go down there and see to it. See, that's what Psalm 103 verse 20 is all about. The Lord has given these angels charge. They hearkened to his commandment. Well, those commandments also told them that, look, when you hear the voice of God's word out of their mouth, see, they give voice to God's word. See? How do you do it? You read the scriptures, you search the scriptures, you find a promise that God has said. We've said this a million times on this platform. And then you latch onto that promise and you give voice to it. You know, that's what the angels hacking on to. They don't hacking on to emotions. God is not driven by emotions. You know, the principles in the kingdom, unctions from the throne, they walk by principles. The principle is put your faith in the word of God and speak his word. Angels are listening. They will move into action. But if you're just crying and bemoaning your losses and so forth, that may not necessarily move anything. But if you find the word of God and you speak his word, the word carries the power to make the angels go into action. Those were those angels that were moving back and forth fast and doing stuff. Those angels can, in one moment, they can be somewhere, in another moment, in the twinkling of an eye, can be someplace else. They can move at the speed of thought. Thought, how you can think. If you know how to think it, you can think in a moment. You may be here. I may be here in Arizona. I can think that I'm in Nigeria or England or Japan or whatever, and I'll be right there. The speed of thought, these angels can move at that speed and they could be right there. But the only thing that moves them, on your behalf, God already gave them commandments to minister for you. But How do they minister? Well, when you speak the word of God, that's the only thing they respond to. I have my orders. You know, one time also, I was an angel shown, and there was a situation that he should have intervened. I'm looking, saying, well, do something. So, well, I have my orders. What are your orders? Are not your orders to do something for the children of Israel? I mean, God? So, well, I have my orders. Well, tell me what your orders are. Well, I have my orders. It's like this man was just programmed to repeat, I have my orders. What are your orders then? Well, I have my orders. And then I found out that, well, his orders were, well, you wait until he speaks my word. Or you wait until she speaks my word. Can't do anything before that. Angels will come to the Lord and say, Lord, how long? I mean, look at your daughter and this and that. I said, well, I know. But I've already given them my principles and I can't go against my word. Yeah, the principles are, you know, they got to declare my word. They said, well, but you know, they've been, I mean, in this situation for long. How long would they be in that situation? Well, you know, your order is you stay right there. And then you speak, when they speak my word, you see to it that it comes to pass. Sometimes the Lord can give them also charge to say, okay, well, can we help them along a little bit? Say, yeah, sure. Make situation harder for them. Because that's what they, that's the only way the angel is going to help you. Going to make the situation more difficult for you. He's not going to go there, you know, until you come and speak that word. Like, make that situation a little more difficult for you, you know. And I said, wow. Well, yeah, because you got to speak that word. And then when you speak that word, say, ah, you know, that's the green light. You know, that's the trigger. When those angels hear that word out of your mouth, that's the trigger. Nothing can stop them at that time. Stoppable, you know, unstoppable. So if you want the angels to fight for you, to do things for you and so forth, you can't stand up and start commanding angels. That's not going to work. All you got to do is stand up and start proclaiming the word of God. What God has said about that situation for you. And the moment you start to do it, and just say, wow, that's what we've been waiting for. You know, God doesn't need to tell them again the second time. He already told them, you know. You wait right there and you see to it. Once you hear them speak my word, you go down there and see to it. Now, there shall be a performance of those things that are told you of the Lord when you believe and you begin to declare those same things. So whatever it is that you need from the Lord, you find the scriptures and you get it behind the scriptures and begin to declare it. You know, don't worry about the angels. They've got their assignment. They've got their orders. You know, so this story that we saw in Acts chapter 12. I've told this story on this platform about two or three times. And some of you have heard it before, but some people may not have heard it, but I'm going to tell it again. And it's like reading the scriptures. I mean, I've read this Acts chapter 12 many times. I don't know how many times I read it. I've read many portions of the Bible many times. So when you hear a story again, don't say, I heard it before. You read the Bible before you read it again. You know, this story happened in real time. I've seen the angel of the Lord deliver something in real time, somebody from a place where they were in chains in real time. It happened many years ago when I was a young man, maybe around 20 or 21 years old. It happened. Similar thing that happened in Acts chapter 12. You know, we heard there was a sister that had some problem with her family, you know. They were Satan worshippers and they wanted to sacrifice her because she was trying to believe the Lord and different things. And they sold her soul to the devil. And they gave her up to this synagogue of Satan to sacrifice her unto the devils. So while they were preparing her for sacrifice, they locked her up in this synagogue of Satan, shaved her head, put chains around her hands, her waist, I mean, everything. She was like a monkey tied down. I saw it with my eyes. This wasn't somebody told me. I went down there, somehow figured out the place, and I went to go and look for her. You know, when I got there, this place was in the bush, you know, from the main road. somewhere in the outskirts of Lagos, you know, sort of go deep into, from the main road into this jungle where the synagogue of Satan was. That's where they had their camp. And so when we got there, you know, we saw her in the synagogue. She was tied down in the front. And it looked like, you know, how you would have like a church building. You'd have like an altar in the front, you know, that kind of thing. She was tied around that altar, chains around her hands, her ankles, shaved her head. You know, my goodness. You know, and went towards her, spoke something she wouldn't even understand. And she looked at me. She was somebody that knew me very well. But she looked at me. She couldn't really recognize. And I saw the, you know, the daze or glaze in her eyes that she wasn't even perceiving anything. I was like, oh, my goodness, how do we get her out of here? And we found out that she was being prepared for the sacrifice. So I left when I knew I was powerless to do anything, you know, and the rules were, you know, that you had to take off your shoes to get into that place. And I said, well, I'm going to take off my shoes. This is not holy ground. So anyway, I left. Somehow I managed to leave, and I found one man of God then. And I said, well, you know, and this man was from that part of the country. I said to him, I said, it was an evangelist that was always preaching about casting out devils and so forth. This was in the 70s. So I said to him, well, you know, such and such, can you go with me to this place and see if we can negotiate the release of this sister? So we went there. He went with me. We got there, and I saw, you know, this, there were these gates. They were like 15 feet high. You know, we had to go in through the, through that compound. So I got there, you know, and I was determined in my mind that day that, look, I'm not going to take off my shoes. What is this nonsense? Take off your shoes. And the girl was still tied down there. We could see her from the, you know, outside of the door. You could look inside and see her. She was still tied down. They were preparing her. There were days to the sacrifice. True story. And then they said, well, take off your shoes. I said, I'm not taking off my shoes. And, you know, I mean, in those days when I was a young man, you know, I had that kind of audacious, daring, in-your-face kind of faith, you know, tell you, who, take off your shoes. This place is synagogue of Satan. I'm not take off my shoes. Well, you can tell somebody like that in their synagogue. I'm going to, you know, they said, well, so they cast me out of that place. True story. Threw me out of the gates. And I saw those gates, big gates. He said, next time you show your face around here, we'll have your head. And he showed me these matches. And the evangelist, he saved me that day. He pleaded for me. And I said, well, you know. And I said, well, so I stood there. But they didn't let him go, let her go. They, you know, he said so many things to them. They threw me out of that gate. They wouldn't let her go. And we left. So we went to our company. The man went his way. I thanked him, but wasn't happy. And I thought the man would have gone there and called down fire and did this and that. You know, I was a young man then, but he couldn't do it. So anyway, went to our company and told them the story of this woman being this and that. And people began to pray, you know, just like in Acts chapter 12, praying around the clock. Then I left. I was in a place then, you know, called Federal School of Science. Then I left and I went to the university in another city, Ibadan, called University of Ibadan. And these were miles, you know, maybe 100 miles apart or more. And kind of still praying about it, but sad that we couldn't do anything about it. So one day I was sitting in my dorm. Listen to this story. Those of you who've never heard it before. Sitting in my dorm. Now, my dorm was, you know, my room was kind of like two or three stories up. Wasn't even on the ground floor. I was sitting in my dorm one day, and I heard a knock on my door. And I went there, I opened the door, and this sister was standing outside. Oh, my goodness. And I almost fell over. It was like you've seen a ghost. Because I knew where she was. I knew the last time I saw her. And I knew they tried to kill me and have my head. And, you know, and How in the world are you standing here? Now, she told the most incredible story. And of course, I knew Acts chapter 12. And we were praying along those lines too, actually, that the Lord would send an angel and deliver her or something. And the Lord did exactly that, you know. And here's how the story went. She told me the most incredible thing I ever heard in my life till this day. Never heard any such thing. And she said, well, one night, and this was somebody, the last time she saw me, she didn't even know who I was. They had removed her memory completely, you know, satanic powers, you know. Her memory was restored. And she, you know, how did she know where I was? She didn't know where I was, you know. So one night she was there, and I think it was, you know, the night before the sacrifice. Just like Peter, and she would be, you know, Herod would have brought him forward. And she said, you know, she suddenly saw this figure in front of her, white dress or white outfit, and said something to her, and her chains fell off. True story. And beckoned to her, and she just followed him. The gates, and I saw those gates, ladies and gentlemen, they threw me out of those gates. The gates opened to them, and she just followed, and they walked. This place was about a mile to the main road, deep in the jungle. And then they got there. The man was just following, and the man gave some instruction to one, you know, we call them transportation in Nigeria. He put her in this thing. Gave instructions to the person to carry her to University of Ibadan. This was in Lagos, and gave her instructions of where to go, and said some certain things to her. And you go to the, look for this hall and so forth, go up to this place and knock on this door. Give her instructions. It's unbelievable. This story is unbelievable. And, and so she went. When you get into the campus of my university, my dorm is not the first one you would see. You know, so they had to, you know, it's not the first place you would see. It's way back, tucked in the back somewhere. And my room is not even on the first floor. And somehow she was guided, you know, the man that was told to bring her, the fee was already paid, brought her all the way, dropped her at the dorm. She remembered the instructions to go up and knock on a certain door. She went up, found that door, knocked on the door, and there was I. You know, amazing story. It's a true story, you know. And then she told me all this thing. I'm like, oh my goodness. Then I remembered Acts chapter 12. We'd been praying about it. And, you know, if you don't think that angels do these things, I just told you a story that happened in our generation. Not just what we read in the Bible. It was in the Bible. I didn't do it. In fact, they threw me out of that place. They were going to kill me. It wasn't me. I don't say this story to give myself any credit. I did nothing about it other than pray. You know, but the angel of the Lord did it. And it was his true story. And I was a beneficiary of knowing that story. And it also tells me that the Lord knows my name. Praise the Lord. Because just like, you know, told Cornelius, sent to Joppa and find a man called Peter. He's, you know, dwelling in the house of one Tanner and so forth. You know, and the angel of the Lord told the girl where to find me. So I'm thankful for that. I participated in that story in a passive way. I wasn't doing anything. But it also let me know that the Lord knows my name. And he sent her over there, and we had to take care of her. And I knew the parents knew me with her somehow. They knew I was leader of that group, and they would find her if they found me. So we had to take her to another university in another city. And so forth. I called one of the other sisters from the sister's dorm, say, hey, this sister is here. They knew the story. They had been praying. Nobody could believe the story. I said, well, she's here. Believe it or not, she's right here. I took her to another place, on and on and on. And the story went beyond that. You know, that's how God saved that person. It's the same as Acts chapter 12. Angels on assignment. They have their orders. Now, that particular angel that came to save her, you know, his orders might have been, well, you know, my people have been praying. It is time. You know, one time the Lord said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, he said, I have seen the afflictions of my people, and now I have heard their cry, and I'm come down to deliver them. Now, therefore, you know, arise, and I will send you to Pharaoh. You know, so, I mean, sometimes the Lord will do that. You say, well, but see, you know, you've got to cry unto the Lord too. We weren't crying and praying to an angel. We're praying to the Lord, but the Lord answered it by sending an angel. And so angels on assignment, they have their orders. And when they have their orders, you can't stop them. Now, there are some powerful angels on the other side as well. We read the story in Daniel chapter 10. You know, Daniel was praying for 3 weeks. He was fasting. From the moment he began to pray, the angel told him later that your prayers were heard and I was sent with the answer. But the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. Well, that's happening in the realm. They're fighting, duking it out there and so forth until Michael came and stepped in, you know. There's nobody that put the final defeat on that devil like Michael. And, you know, fast forward to Revelation chapter 12. This Michael will put another beat down on this devil again. Glory to God. He said, well, you know, the devil, the dragon fought and his angels. And Michael also stood up with his angels and they fought. And the place where the dragon was found no more in heaven. Putting him out. Glory to God. You know, and then the saints that were looking said, well, that's what I'm talking about. You know, and they put out the devil, you know. So the Lord will fight for his people with his angels. And, you know, the angel of the Lord will bring messages. They can fight for you. God can send them. The devil may try to stop them. But today, we actually have, you know, something that I call assist mode. Glory to God. You know, what is assist mode? Well, you got the scriptures. You got the word of God. Praise God. You know, you find those words. You find the power that's in those words. And you begin to use them. You know, and you fight in the spirit realm with these words of God. Have power to bring change. And, you know, when you speak the word of God to yourself, or someone speaks the word of God to you, oh, you know, it has the power to create change, bring the angels into action on your behalf. So let's practice it. Practice the word of God. You know, whether you see these angels or not, doesn't matter. God may open your eyes. In fact, if you open your eyes, you might see. One time, Elisha, you know, was every time the king of Syria will plan something, Elisha would tell, you know, the king of Israel, you know, they are planning this thing against you. So go this way. Don't go that way. Set an ambush for you. So finally, the king of Syria said, well, which among you is the double agent? You know, that's trying to pretend like they are here, but they are serving the king of Israel. Every time we're doing, they're foiling our plans. So one little girl comes, you know, she hears about it. She has carried away slave into that place. King, I tell you, it's nobody but the prophet. It's not any of your servants. We don't have a mole. What we have is, I said, prophet. Everything you say, he tells. I said, our prophet telling what I'm saying here? I said, yeah. So, well, let's get him. Let's go bump him off. So he sends his people and so forth to go round up Elisha. Elisha is sleeping. They surround the city to grab him. His servant sees all these people, runs to Elisha. Master, you know, they've come to arrest us, to bump us off. Elisha wakes up. What's happening? He said, well, you know, they are here. He said, who's here? Tells him. He said, well, don't worry about it. The people that are here, they're with us, the angels are with us, are more. The man looks at him. What's going on? You know, you've been dreaming. There's nobody here, but we, you and these donkeys, Elisha says, well, you know, if you see what I see, you will know that there's people with us more than those that are against us. So Elisha prays the word, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Glory to God. And when the Lord opened the eyes of the man, he saw chariots of fire. Angels surrounded. The people that surrounded Elisha to bring him in, you know, they themselves were surrounded by chariots of fire that were on Elisha's side. And Elisha saw it. The angel, the servant didn't see it until he prayed that he may see it. So you may or may not see it, you know, but God, I mean, can you imagine the power of this Elisha man? You know, how chariots of fire will be ready to fight on his behalf. And he wasn't even worried. He was sleeping. You know, I see something that you don't see. Don't worry about it. And then the Lord gave him instructions of what to do with those people. So he was able to strike them with blindness or open their eyes and so forth. You know, struck them with blindness. Led them straight to the king. Who could arrest them? The king says, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? So, no. What do you smite them for? I brought them to you. Give them food. Treat them well. Send them away. That was word of wisdom. And there will be peace between you and the other side. I said, oh. And he did that. There was peace. But you see how the Lord could open the eyes of somebody and they could see into the spirit realm what they couldn't see before. If the Lord opened your eye, you might see. See? You're surrounded by angels and chariots of fire. You have your own secret service detail. They're following you. They're watching over you. And actually, you don't need more than one. Because one angel can slay 185,000 at once. They are trained. They are warriors. They're called angels that excel in strength. You know, they're battle warriors. They know what to do. You know, they can go in there and deal with situations. And some of them are also, you know, ascend, that's significant. You know, they watch over times and seasons. There's one in particular that's called Power Money. He presides over and watches over the things of destiny that have to do with God's eternal purpose. You can dispatch somebody like Gabriel, you know, and say, go to this young lady and tell her this and this. This Gabriel, he's sharp. He knows the scriptures. He'll come there and say, well, today is Isaiah 7:14 going to be fulfilled in your life. You will conceive and you'll bear a child. Say, conceive? I don't even, you know, I have a man like that. So well, don't worry about it. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Hallelujah. And the angels, they can do such things. They have the power. They are sent by God. Now, angels, according to Hebrews 1:7-14, have been sent out on your behalf. They have their orders. So you don't worry about it. Your order is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Those are your own orders. And you will love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law of Christ. Now, you doing yours, they will do theirs. Guaranteed. You know, we spoke about this yesterday, Jesus, how he said, you know, my Father is with me because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. John 8:29. So your part, your role is to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And here is how John, the apostle, the beloved, he wrote it in 1 John 3:22. He said, you know, we know and we are sure that we get the things that we ask of him for two reasons. He said, well, we do his commandments, you know, and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Praise the Lord. You know, so those are the things that we must do. So let's read 1 John 3:22. This is your part. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Keeping his commandments is what I call active obedience. God says, we do. End of story. There's no argument. You just do it. You are my friends. If You do whatever I command you, then you can call yourself my friends. Now, passive obedience is we do the things that are pleasing in his sight, whether he has said it so point blank or not. If we know it's pleasing, we do it. And if we know it's displeasing to him, we don't do it. Some people will say, well, you know, this and this, they try to argue. This scripture says, look, even when God has not point blank commanded something, but you know it is pleasing in his sight, then you do it. And if you know it's displeasing in his sight, now Paul talked about it by calling some things, all things may be lawful, but not all things edify. The things that do not edify, even when you say, well, of course, I can drink, I can do this, I can do whatever. Well, yeah, maybe so, but they're not pleasing in his sight. They're not pleasing in his sight. They don't edify. They put a stumbling block before somebody else. But stay away from it. Because the angels are watching. Even the angels are watching, you know, when women are not disobedient. You know, so well, this is the reason why, you know, you got to be reverent to your husband. Have power over your head because the angels are watching. You know, when we do things, the angels are watching the men too. They are disobedient to Christ because Christ is the head of the man. The man's the head of the wife, you know, and so on. You know, and God is the head of Christ. So if you are not doing your things, say, be careful now. The angels are watching. Praise the Lord. But we are persuaded better things of you, even though we don't speak. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I round up this lesson here in saying that God has given his angels over you. And whatever you need, whether it's deliverance, he can, you know, break those chains. We've seen the angel of the Lord do it. He can shut the mouth of lions. We've seen the angel do it. He can quench the fury of burning furnace. We've seen the angel of the Lord do it. You know, he can bring you messages. He can bring you, you know, things. He can orchestrate things. We call it the angel of the Lord. It's not always the Lord himself that disguises an angel. They just call them the angel of the Lord. Might be an angel of God, might be the angel of the Lord, you know, whatever it is. And that's up to him, who he wants to send. My focus is to fear the Lord and obey his word and find the word of God and speak it. And that's what triggers these angels into action. They'll come out, you know, of their latent state when you start to speak the word. They will move into action. It can move faster than even your thoughts sometimes. Praise the Lord. So that's our lesson. And God has given these angels, you know, Lord loves them to do things. And they love to do things for the Lord. And he's giving them charge over you to do things on your behalf. You know, so make sure they are doing things. Don't let your angels be bored. They are bored when you are not speaking the word of God. They have nothing to do. Just be folding their hands and looking. But when you're speaking the word of God, they spring into action. Their order is see to it that what she has declared or is declaring comes to pass. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for our lesson today. I give you the praise and glory. I pray that you, everyone will receive understanding of these things. Jesus said, do you now understand these things? They say, yeah, Lord. Well, I pray that we have understanding and we will step into our rightful place. Have this, you know that the secret service detail is right there with you. Have nothing to worry about. Watching over you. Angels watching over me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. But more importantly, that watching over that word, Lord, I sent them. When you hear it out of their mouth, you go spring into action and see to it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.